today's episode, I have the pleasure of speaking with Toby Price. He's the principal of a school in Mississippi and a father of three. Listen to Toby talk about his perspective on life, how he operates at school, and his belief in children.
I've bought my life to smell like this.
Toby Price, I've been waiting to talk to you in real life for a long time. So thank you very much for taking time out of your busy life to come on the Roland Chidiac Connects podcast. So welcome.
Hey, man, how are you? Doing great. Doing great. Good. I'm glad to be here. I'm glad we were able to sit down and finally do this.
Yeah, this is awesome. So you're my first American interview.
That's great.
Yeah, I've been keeping it Canadian. But you were on my list of people that I wanted to talk to because of the work you do. So just to give people a bit of a history, you and I connected first over Twitter like 2 years ago, I'm guessing. Yeah. Yeah. And here and there, you know, we'd go back and forth. But I love your tweets. I love your energy. You talk a lot about your work, your family, Star Wars. you seem to be a fun-loving guy, easygoing guy. And you were an assistant principal then. You're a principal now.
Yes.
So hopefully, yeah, that's awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Hopefully we can talk a little bit about that. And recently we've connected over Facebook, which is even more fun because for me, I see Facebook as I think of it as my basement, and I only invite people over to my house into my basement that I feel comfortable with.
Exactly. That's so true. That's so true about it because it's more personal. I guess it's more personal because you can be a little bit sillier. You can be more yourself there because like on Twitter, I stay to specific topics, but you know, Facebook is more family and more kind of, I guess, I won't say intimate, but it, you know, it's a different side. So I agree. That's a good way to look at it.
Yeah, for sure. For me, Twitter is more of like, it's a pub. You know, you can go in, you can have a beverage, talk to whoever's sitting beside you, then get up and leave whenever you want. Exactly. You don't have to stay. Mm-hmm. You don't have to show people, you know, things like I show a lot of pictures about my family and stuff on Facebook too. So I don't just connect with anybody on Facebook. But I mean, people are pretty good about respecting those lines. So that's pretty cool. So I've gotten to see another side of you as well. I've gotten to see your professional side and your personal side. And, you know, It's an honor because that's a big deal to let somebody into their personal life. So I appreciate that.
No worries, man. Thank you.
So like I was saying earlier, I've read a lot of your tweets and the quotes you put out there and the images and things. And it's very inspiring. You're very, I know you to be down to earth and you take your work very seriously. So tell me, tell us a little bit about the work you do.
Well, this year, I am the principal of Richland Up. I always say it on the. I gotta say it like I say it on the announcements. It's Richland Upper Elementary. You gotta say it really. You know, you gotta get into it, man. When you get on there in the mornings, it's a grades 3 through 6 school here in Richland, Mississippi. It's a Title I school. We've got some really good. Everybody's my friend there, and most of them are my cousins. I see them all the time. They say, "Miss Price, is that really your cousins?" Like, that's my cousin because we're one big family. Okay, so yes, I got a building full of cousins and friends and. They really need you. When I first came to Richland, Richland was my third Title I school, which is, you know, a high poverty type school. And man, once I first came there, I knew that was where I was meant to be. You know, all of your students need you in different ways. My friends in Richland, they really need you in a lot of different ways. And it just really drew me in. And I don't ever want to leave. I don't ever want to leave, man. It's good stuff.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. That energy, that passion. You know, you say you got there, and I was going to ask you what a Title I school was because we don't use that kind of language here in Ontario. Okay. Mm-hmm. So it's a lower end, high poverty type environment.
Yes, sir. We have over 70% of our students qualify for free and reduced lunch. You know, we have a wide variety of students. We're in a unique place in our district. It's I think the third largest district in Mississippi, and it's kind of an affluent district, but we're in a unique place in the district where we intersect with two neighboring school zones, very large ones like Jackson Public Schools and Pearl City Schools. So if you go a block over, you can go to Pearl If you go a block over the other way, you're going to Jackson Public Schools. If you come back a block over, you can go to Richland Upper Elementary. And you know, sometimes we have some people who are, you know, they're very transient. You know, we move around a lot. We may lose them in October, but we'll see them again in March. So it's a unique kind of situation. It's kind of like when you play your video game with the difficulty level set all the way up to high. That's kind of what it's like. But you know, we have some folks who I tell it all the time, and we kind of have it's our little slogan, our vision. You know, this is where kids want to be and where teachers want to teach. And the teachers who are there aren't there because they have to. Some of them drive from the other side of town or another town over. Some of them live local, but you know, they come there because they want to be there. And that's a pretty amazing thing.
I agree 100%. And I like what you said about you don't have to.
Yeah, that's right? A big deal, man. That's a huge deal. I was sharing, and I'll share it with you if you want to. I was sharing with some of my teachers over the break. I got away for like a week. It was awesome. You know, going from an AP to a principal in the same building, you know, the transition, I wasn't off, you know. It was just, there was a time when the kids weren't there, and then there's a time when the kids were there. That was my break. But we got away for a few days, and we had we were away probably too long, because, you know, I have two kids with autism. They're pretty severe. And we were away, I think my wife said, now we're going to draw a circle around Mississippi, and we'll go about 5 hours, or no, 3 hours away from Mississippi. That's our limit. We traveled almost 14 hours this time. It was an amazing trip, but it was too far and probably too long. And Addison, one of these days on this trip, I told my teachers, it's Addison had what had to be probably the worst meltdown we've had in about 6 or 7 years. And it was pretty, I won't go into a lot of detail, but it was horrifying. And when it was done, she was calm. I felt like a loser because we had a horrible meltdown. I was beat down, feeling sorry for myself. You name it, man. And we know what's really sad is I was feeling sorry for myself. You know, I had like a whole why me attitude going on when she had this horrible meltdown. And then I had someone contact me. I won't say where, because I promised them I wouldn't say anything about it, but they contacted me from online and they saw something I'd posted a few weeks before and they wanted to share this with me. And they shared something really amazing with me. And I kind of looked them up because at first I was kind of skeptical that I thought they could have been like some, you know, I didn't know who they were because I wasn't following them. They weren't following me, but they were following a hashtag that I tweeted and they contacted me. And it turns out it wasn't spam, because, you know, you always want to know if it's spam or it's just some weirdo. And I kind of started looking through their stuff and they shared something with me because they didn't have their child anymore. He'd gotten sick. And I sat down and I thought about this and I was like, man, here I am feeling sorry about myself because we had a horrible day and it made me feel like I had a horrible life there for a little while. And then there were some other people sitting out there who would want what I have, even though it was, you know, even though what it was, you know. And again, it made me think back to, you know, I get to do this. I don't have to do this. It's a get to. Every day is a get to. Even the bad days, you know, bad day doesn't mean a bad life. And it was a real perspective changer that afternoon, because I haven't had a situation where we haven't had a meltdown that bad in like 6 years. And it really, it was a lot of perspective. So get to, don't have to is a big deal to me, even through the horrible stuff, you know.
Thanks for sharing that story. And no worries, I think that's what I'm talking about when I talk about how you inspire and how you're true to life. Like, you're telling me and whoever's listening to us about the situation that you had with your daughter. And like, from my perspective, you're very open about, your kids with high needs and talking about, like, your hashtag man versus autism. It comes up a lot, and it's awesome the way that you just talk about your experience and how you're living your life and how you're being a dad, right? And a husband.
Yeah.
And the cool thing is that everybody thinks what you just said, you felt bad. You felt like, you know, you weren't doing a great job, but everybody feels like that sometimes. So that brings me to the nitty gritty of this is how, where do you get your motivation from? Where do you get your inspiration? Like, I know they're your kids. I get it. But sometimes the hardest children to work with are the ones that belong to you, right? Like, because you're with them all the
time. Totally. That's huge, because, and it's, I think it's even worse if you're a teacher, because, you know, you go every day thinking, I can reach 600 plus kids every single day, but I can't get through to your own, is what it feels like sometimes. And that's a challenge, man. It's almost like, did you ever watch the TV show Monk? Did you ever see Monk when it was on?
A couple Adrian of times.
Yeah, and it was like, you know, Monk can solve any crime except for whatever happened to his wife, because I guess it was too close and too personal, and he just couldn't see it the same way. The pieces didn't fall together. And, you know, I can teach almost, I feel like I can get through to a lot of kids, but in the beginning, when they first were diagnosed, when they were little, like Addie and McCabe were 13 months apart, and they were little, and they were hardcore. In the beginning, it was tough for me because I was like, you know, I could get through to all these kids, but I couldn't get through to my own. And it took me a long time before I actually listened to my wife, because somebody already told my wife this, and she gets it a lot quicker. They just do. Moms, wives, they get it a lot faster than we do. But she, you know, she told me that you're not their teacher, you're their dad. Be their dad. You know, be their dad. Even though you want to be their teacher, be their dad. And then figuring out what that means to me over the last 6 years has been a big deal. You know, how do I be a good dad to them? And that's a lot easier if I let myself off the hook about being their teacher and just try and be their dad and figuring out what that is. That's been what we've kind of done a lot over the last year. And I think being a good dad, this is my secret to being a good dad, especially when you don't know anything else about being a good dad. Take care of their mom. If you want to be a good dad, you take care of their mom. And if you're taking care of their mom, that's one really good way to just make sure you're being a good dad, by taking care of their mom. If you take care, if she's happy, you're going to be happy. They're going to be happy. Stuff's going to get done. You know, if you take care of their mom, that's my new soapbox right now. If you want to be a good dad, take care of your kid's mom. There you go.
That's great advice, because I was just about to ask you what you were doing, how you're working on that, how you're working being on a better dad. And that answer, I think it's great, because you two are a team. And another thing is you do mention your wife a lot. Like, there's pictures of your wife and you talk about her, which is, it's cool to see that you guys are truly a team, and every day is a new day. And I love the pictures. Yeah. Like, I'm looking right now at your Twitter page and your banner picture of you and your family sitting on a brick wall with all reading books. Mm-hmm. It's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you know, that was, she came up with that. We have a really good friend. She plugged for, his name is Wiley Jaron Smith. He takes our family photos each year. And she came up with that because she knows, you know, if I had any free, if my favorite free time activity for me, I have a book and I have a hammock. I'd be in a hammock with my book. That's it. You know, and she brought the books and she said, let's do this, because, you know, my two friends, getting Addie and McKay to look at the camera and actually smile at the same time, it ain't happening. All right. But when we did the books, we could put the books in front of our faces and we got a really unique, awesome picture, and nobody knows the difference. And that was all her. I mean, she really gets me. She gets all of us. She, you know, for the times when I feel like I'm not, you know, I always have to remind myself, you know, to get up and get going. But when I am down, she's the one who, you know, she's one more round. You know, you can get up. You do this one more round. Come on. You know, get up. You're better than this. And she's she knows the right way to motivate me when I need, you know, when I need a pat on the back, or when I need to, what does it tell me? Get your chin up, Prince. That's your crown slipping, you know, stop feeling sorry for yourself.
That's funny.
You know, so, you know, yeah, she gets me, and we keep each other going that way. I think she does more for me than I do for her probably sometimes, but we keep each other going that way.
So that's a huge motivation then, is your partner.
Oh yeah. She's my best friend. And, you know, we, as far as, you know, how do we keep doing it? You know, I tell people, folks, sometimes we don't, you know, we just want to just lay down and just not, but you just got to try, you know. I don't know. We have, we see some kids that come through our buildings, and there's nobody like on their side for discipline issues or whatever. And, you know, and I always think that, you know, what if those were mine? What if that was my kid, you know? So I guess I don't know what it is that gets me going, it gets me up, but I want to make sure that I'm there fighting for somebody, or, you know, trying to at least be there for somebody. Like, I want them to be there for my own kid. So that's it. I think, you know, the weird ones, the troublemakers, those are my cousins, man. That's what I tell everybody. Those are my cousins. So that's what I don't know.
You know, you've got a great perspective, and you're in the right position to influence staff and students. So, okay, I didn't know you were I didn't know you were principal at the school where you were an assistant principal.
Yeah, you know, and I don't know how it is, you know, where you live, but in here they normally don't do that. They don't move you up into the same building. The gentleman I was with, he was there for 14 years. He retired recently. And they let me move up in the same building. And I don't know, it's a huge responsibility. You know, I had to make sure, I had to convince our brand new superintendent that, you know, we were going to make some changes. It wasn't just going to be business as usual. And you know, I think we're moving in the right direction. We're 2 weeks in now, and the people in my building, I haven't got to say this to them enough, but they have worked tirelessly these last 2 weeks, just doing some amazing things. Even in the 2 weeks that we've been, you know, with kids in the building, and it's been pretty awesome just to see it happen. Just their energy level and their positivity. You know, I talk with other principals at night and people from other schools, and I know they're having issues. We have our own issues. Don't get me wrong, but I these last 2 weeks I've been able to sit back and say, we haven't had those issues, so I guess we're doing pretty good. You know, it's I've been really, really happy with what's been going on in the building these last 2 weeks. It's been really, really just a really positive thing.
Where I'm from in my district, it is uncommon for, we call them vice principals, for a vice principal to be promoted to principal in the same school. I can think of a couple of times it's happened, but generally speaking, it doesn't happen. So that's got to be pretty neat to... How long were you assistant principal there?
6 years. And like, wow, they flew by, but it was years. 6 years. 6 years.
Okay,
exactly.
So
6 years.
Before that, where were you at?
Before that, I did. It was a really unique internship I was involved in through the University of Mississippi. You know, James Barksdale, the guy who invented the Netscape. Is it Netscape? Did I say it right? Oh, I hope I did. And plus, he's not. James Barksdale, he has the Barksdale Reading Institute. He started what they call it the Principal Corps. It was a full scholarship program. And he was funding it, and it was going to be, we started off, I think there was 10 of us in the first cohort, and he paid for everything. It was an amazing thing. He paid for everything. It was a year-long program. And then the unique thing about it was, while I was going to school, I did like a semester there in the summer where I lived on campus, and we went to classes almost like, it felt like 24/7. And then once school started, we did an internship. It's almost like I called it student principaling, where I was an intern in a building and getting paid like teacher pay to be an intern in the building. But I was, you know, learning to be a principal, like hands-on the entire day. And it was amazing. I got to work with Dr. Norman Session at Pisgah High School, which is just one of the most unique places in the state, if not in all of Mississippi. I just loved it. And I got to work with Dr. Tanya Crane, who is just phenomenal, at Richland Lower Elementary before that. So it was a godsend getting into that program. Like I said, you know, I was teaching fifth grade it wasn't an all boys school. It was an all boys class in the same district. It was kind of an experimental thing in the school that I was in. I was teaching that for 5 years when I got into the Principal Corps, and you know, Principal Corps, you know, really kind of changed my life. It was amazing because, you know, when you're teaching and I was working as a bartender at night trying to take care of my family, there was no way I was going to pay for school. So, you know, to get a full ride from, I call him Uncle Jim Barksdale, that was a pretty awesome thing. It was a pretty awesome thing.
That's very cool. It's good to know. And I'm really happy to hear that worked out for you. I'm not as happy to hear that you were teaching and bartending at the same time to, you know, keep yourself afloat.
We had to. I mean, it was pretty harsh there for a while because, you know, Leah, you're not going to find a daycare where we live that'll take special needs kids. And if you are, you're not going to be able to afford them. So, you know, Leah had to stay home with the kids. And it wasn't bad for a while, but I do remember, you know, I'm 40 years old now. And I think I put enough miles on my feet working in a restaurant because I remember Friday mornings I would get up for school 5 a.m., go to school, teach all day. Go to Applebee's that evening around 3. My shift would start. I'd get home at, you know, the restaurant would close. I'd get home 1:30, 2 o'clock Saturday morning, and then, you know, go to sleep. The kids would get up soon, and then I'd go and do it again. I mean, it was really harsh for a while. I mean, it was worth it. It was, you know, it was a blessing to get to have that job because it kept us afloat for a while. But yeah, it was pretty hardcore. I don't think I could do it anymore. You know, I tell everybody, I'm not 38 anymore. I don't think I can move that fast or that long anymore.
Well, I give you two thumbs up for doing that. Because you're right.
I appreciate it. It's good stuff.
You have to do what you have to do. And when you look back on it, you know, it stinks. Mm-hmm. But when you're in the middle of it, you just got to go with the flow and keep things moving, right?
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, it was, if anything, you know, teaching was what I was meant. What I was meant to do. It's what I love to do. And, you know, if I had to pull a couple of shifts on the weekends to make sure we had groceries to get through the week, you know, so what? At least I was lucky I got to do it. And, you know, I made good money doing it while we got to do it. And then through the week, you know, I got to teach kids, you know, about my favorite books and how to write and read. And then, you know, I had to wait some tables on the weekends. So what? Not a big deal. Not a big deal.
Right. And I go back to your attitude, positive attitude, doing what you need to do, like right there. people can hear, you know, where you're coming from and what you're about. So good on you. That's really awesome.
No, I appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
On a lighter note, one of the awesome things about Toby Price is your tweets to Oprah. You're going to love this. I was telling my wife about this whole podcast thing and what I'm up to, whatever. And when we were supposed to talk before, and unfortunately it didn't work out, but I'm glad that's okay. It's passed, and now here we are. But my wife said, I said to my wife, okay, I'm gonna be upstairs talking with someone for the podcast. And she's like, oh, who? And I said, Toby Price. And she goes, the guy who's always tweeting Oprah? And I'm like, yeah, my wife isn't on Twitter, and so she doesn't know all the people I follow and the people who follow me, but I have mentioned you to her because it's hilarious. Like, you've tweeted Oprah about anything and everything. And at first,
oh my gosh.
You have, right?
I have. And one day, if she ever responds and I have to answer for some of those tweets, I don't know what I'm going to say.
Well, I'm hoping that she gives you some airtime or something, because you deserve it. I don't have any of those tweets handy, but I have to say that they must bring a smile to your face. They bring a smile to everybody else's face. And, you know, it's really awesome. So when I think Toby Price, one of the things I think is, Oprah, are you out there? Those tweets are awesome.
You know, and it started out as not everybody probably read it, but Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret. You know, I read that. I think I read that way too late in life. My wife, when we first met, I was bartending at a restaurant downtown, a really fancy place, and she gave it to me because it was one of her favorite books. But it was a really slow kind of restaurant, so I had way too much free time. So there I was in a fancy suit and tie, bow ties, you know, bartending, reading Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret, for the first time. But it came like a way to vent. People's like, is Oprah your best friend? I was like, you know what? We are best friends. Has she ever written you back? No, but she listens really well. So whenever I tweet her, she's always listening, you know? And that's what it came. We said, sometimes we vent, you know? It's just, she's out there.
Would you say that that's one of your, like, fun stress relief kind of things?
It really is. It really is. And, you know, sometimes it makes you feel, you know, it makes it okay, because I think, what is it? My wife says sometimes, you know, you don't want sympathy from people all the time. You know, you just want somebody who just listens and just, you know what, just gets it. And sometimes, you know, when you get to share, you know, and back in the day, I've shared some pretty deep things with Oprah, and not because I was looking for a response, just because, you know, you want somebody out there listening that, you know, that would get it. And you watch people, you know, you grow up, everybody's told Oprah everything, man. I mean, if you tell Oprah, you know, she's going to listen. She'll hug you. She'll cry along with you. It's just, you know, you hope, you know, it's just good to have somebody that listens and doesn't try to, like, say, oh, it's going to be okay. Because, you know what, sometimes it's not going to be okay. I'll say stinks. I'm a principal now. I have to make sure I use the right words. So it's good to have somebody that just gets it, you know. Whether she writes me back one day or not, we'll see. It's going to happen one day. And then I can look at all my students and see, it's going to happen. If you try and believe, man, you know, you can get Oprah to say hi to you on Twitter.
Well, you're definitely persistent. That's one of the things I wrote down here. Oh, yeah. All these tweets to Oprah, no response. You don't care. You're moving forward. And I think it's really cool how you've taken the idea. You basically, as you were talking about Oprah, I was thinking, I was reflecting back on the times I've watched her, and I'm like, you're basically responding to her in the way that she's shown us who she is on TV. It's really, it's kind of, I want to use the word innovative, the way that you're kind of playing around with it, because you're tweeting out to her, and basically you're, I'm picturing the way she is with her guests.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she'd be out there just like doing it, and she'd get it, man. I mean, you know, she'd get it. People can say what they want about Oprah. I don't know her personally, but you know what? She just, it's good to have somebody out there. The ideal is somebody that just gets you and just going to listen and not judge you. You know, it's a good thing. And then I'm thinking about the time when I wrote her and asked her to buy me a, what was it? There was this place. One of the sillier things I've asked her for is, like, you know, Oprah, there's this zombie-proof house in upstate New York. You can go ahead and purchase this for us. That way me and my family will be safe. You know, I worry that one day I'll meet her, and that's one of the things she'll bring up instead of, you know, some of the deeper things we've talked about.
That's cool. I can't wait until the day that she responds to you with something, anything.
It's going to happen. It's going to happen. I believe one day it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Even if it's just a retweet or a hi. I take a hi. Hi.
I've got my fingers crossed for you too, Toby.
Thanks, man. Thanks.
Hey, another thing another thing that comes to mind when I think Toby Price is Star Wars.
Man, love me some Star Wars. And you know, and I have to say this to kind of defend my Star Wars stuff with folks, because it doesn't have to be Star Wars. People, you know, Star Wars this, Star Wars that. And I always tell them, you know what? It's a way in with kids. You will be hard-pressed to find a kid who will not look at you and say, oh, man, I love Star Wars, or my uncle loves Star Wars, my dad loves Star Wars, my mom loves Star Wars. It's a way in to make you relatable. And they just get it, man. And you know what? It's so popular now that most of the time, it's not that my uncle loves Star Wars. It's I love Star Wars, whether it's boys, girls, whatever, man. They relate to it, and it's just a way for them to see you as a human being, and Star Wars is really awesome.
Oh, it's so true. Aside from it being very awesome to people like you and I, I was at the dollar store last summer, and I was looking around for some stuff to pick up for the classroom, and I found these Star Wars masks. They really, like, they look real, but bought them for $1. So I got 3 masks, and I basically put them up on a bulletin board high up in my classroom, and I was starting at a new school. So I put them up there, and whenever a kid would walk in that wasn't mine, just like, you know, in another grade coming in to get something or to drop something off for another teacher, their eyes would go right to those masks, and they're like, where'd you get those? And automatically, it's that instant connection with the kids. They're like, where'd you get those? How'd you find them? And the next thing you know, you go from Star Wars to how's your day going? How's your school year going? Mm-hmm. And then there's always that connection.
It's genuine. Yeah. Oh, go ahead. I think there you are. Sorry. I didn't mean to catch up.
No worries. But like, I'll see them at recess on duty, and they don't know me, but they know that I like Star Wars. They know I've got this stuff in the room. And so it's that easy way in to having a conversation or getting to know somebody. It's a great icebreaker when you don't have anything else. So you're right about it being easy to relate to kids and having them relate to you with something simple as that. But you really love it on your own, correct?
Oh, yeah, I do. It's great stuff, man. It's great stuff. Just like, because I grew up a huge fan of Sesame Street and the Muppets and Frank Oz. And if I had to pick, you know, my favorite character in Star Wars, yeah, you got Toby Wan Kenobi. My name sounds like his. That's cool. Because my friends used to call me that. But my favorite is Yoda. I've always loved Yoda, man. To have something that, you know, that, and that's what I love about all the Muppets and Sesame Street, is that somebody created something that, one, is never going to go away now, and that almost anybody around the world could look at it and say, oh, that's Yoda. They know that. That's amazing that somebody created something like that. And Yoda's just – he's just awesome. You know, and I really do love it. It's one of my favorite things.
So on Twitter, your tag is at Jedi Padmaster. I just wanted to put that out there. So if people want to connect with you – I don't know who's listening to this. But if they're listening to this and they don't know who you are, well, they're going to find out pretty quick how intense you are and what you're all about. So on Twitter, it's at Jedi Padmaster. And I noticed that you also have a blog.
Yes.
Man versus Autism.
Yes.
And you've got some Star Wars reference there. But what is your blog basically about?
You know, we started writing stories about it. And Man versus Autism, for some people in the autism community, is kind of a put-off kind of thing. But I try and defend it like this, that, you know, that you've always heard, I don't know if you've heard the expression, when you met one person with autism, you've met one person with autism, because they're all very different. And there's some people out there who, yeah, exactly. There's some people out there who, you know, their kids have autism, and they may be very high functioning, or they may be, you know, different types of autism. And you know what, they accept it in different ways. But for my particular kids, I'm not mad that they have autism. I'm not upset by it. But for us, autism is a challenge. You know, Addison can't communicate with me like other kids do when they're sick. And I'll tell you something huge about that in a second. McKay, they can't talk to me the same way you know, they do. For us, autism is not a horrible thing. Don't get me wrong. It's who they are. But it's a challenge every day to try to overcome, to make sure we can communicate, we can talk, we can take care of ourselves. So when we, you know, when we say man versus autism, it's, you know, it's a challenge, something we have to overcome so they can take care of themselves and, you know, be able to just interact in the world around them. Because you know what, in schools we can make accommodations for them, but in real life, there's no accommodations in real life. They got to be able to cut it out there on their own, you know, survive in the real world, interact in stores, speak to people. So, you know, it's a challenge. And we started writing about things on there, and we've got a good bit of stuff up there. My wife and I do. She helps me with a lot of it, and we're trying to put together some of it for a book. We're sharing, you know, the really good stuff's going to be in the book is what we keep telling folks. But we try to see, you know, that's what autism is for us. It's challenging. That's something we have to try and, you know, help our kids overcome, because they can't, they have some things that they have trouble doing. I'm not saying they can't do, because, you know, Addison started at my school last year, and we won't talk about schools before with Addison because it's not a fun topic. But she started at my school last year, had maybe 10 or 12 words that she would use with prompting. You know, you had to prompt her to ask her if she needed something. And you can look online, you can find it on my Twitter feed or my YouTube page. Addison, yesterday in school, reading a book, like reading it, and it was amazing. With very little to no prompting, they were able to do a DRA assessment on her. Her teacher was. So, you know, we went from a year ago where we could barely speak to she's reading a book. And I was just blown away about, you know, with how far she's come and what she's been able to overcome in the last year. It's intense, man. And it's just wonderful. And, you know, and I tried to tell my teachers this, that, you know, you created a place where she wasn't a fan of school before, but now she wanted to come every day during the summer, and she wakes up every morning ready to go. And it's not because they were autism experts. None of us were autism experts, because they took care of her and made her feel welcome, and they love her. And, you know, man, it's an awesome thing to see. I got to brag on them for that, because, you know, we went from barely being able to talk to reading a book. I'm just like, I watch it over and over again, try not to, you know, sit there and cry like a blubbering idiot, because it's awesome. It's an awesome thing to see. When I still remember, like, 6 years ago when people were telling us that, you know, she was mentally retarded and don't expect a lot. And now we went from where we were to where we are now. Huge, just a huge, huge difference. And it's pretty awesome. It's pretty awesome. I got way off topic. I'm sorry, man. I'm just really proud of her. But, you know, it's something we try to overcome and try to find ways around. And, you know, it's hard for us sometimes. We found out recently, and I haven't shared a lot about this online because I'm still kind of processing it. Addison, over the last few years, as far as challenges and overcoming some things with autism, she can't tell us when she's sick or when she's hurting. We have to kind of figure it out and try to guess. And it's, what's it? I think I saw it online one time, and my grandmother used to say it, you've got to look really close, because even salt sometimes looks like sugar. So you've got to look really close. And with Addison, we couldn't figure out. She started gaining weight. She didn't go outside anymore. She wasn't very active. And so we started treating those kind of symptoms like maybe we got to make her eat differently, or we have to try to make her go outside. And recently we found out that her legs were growing incorrectly. They were turned out. The bones were turned out the wrong way. The doctor says it was causing her to have low to no muscle tone, and looked us dead in the face and said, she's not getting up and walking around because it hurts. She's walking behind you and not wanting to do things because it hurts her really bad. And we found out that she's going to start. She's already done one thing. She has to do water physical therapy for X amount of weeks. And if it doesn't correct the issue, they're going to have to break and reset her legs. It's pretty intense stuff. Like I said, I'm still processing it. She's getting fitted for a wheelchair in a few weeks. Again, I didn't tell anybody that, you know, just some close friends and family. But we're going to go to the hospital, and she's getting fitted for a wheelchair for us to use as needed, because we're having issues. You know, we're not able to go out in public very long because she can't walk very long. So it was an eye opener because, like, you know, so as far as things we have to overcome, not knowing when she's sick and how long she's been hurting for a while with this, and not being able to figure that out was a big deal, man. But you know, we're going to get past this too, just like we do everything else. If we, you know, I think the chair will help. I'm hoping the water physical therapy will help. We found the fact that we found somebody that's willing and able to do it with her. Huge again, but I'm thinking it will help and it will correct the problem, and we won't have to go through the surgeries. We'll see, man. But it, you know, every day is a challenge, and every day is something new. We just gotta keep at it, no matter what.
Number one, there's no such thing as off topic on my podcast. Okay. And number two, Number two, I'll keep her in my prayers, because again,
please do.
It comes back when people hear this, when people get to see what you're about, this is what you're about. Like, I appreciate you sharing that with me, with us. And I think it's good. No, but that's who you are. Yeah. This is what, like I said, one of the reasons why I wanted to connect with you, chat with you, is because of who you are. You are an educator, a true educator, and you care about your kids at home. You care about your kids at school, and it comes out. And people need to hear this, you know, because I'll tell you, there are other people dealing with this. And as you talk about your children and how they can't communicate to you what their needs or issues are, you know, like, I don't have that. I've got two kids, they're two boys, and, you know, they give me a run for my money. But when they're not feeling well, they can tell me, you know, they don't have those communication issues or barriers. So it sounds like you and your wife are on all the time. You're always looking for things. You're listening. You're paying attention, because your kids can't tell you some of these things, and you need to figure this out. So, I mean, people need to hear this, and I appreciate you sharing it. There's no off topic, man.
No worries.
You talk about what you want to talk about, because I can feel the inspiration, you know, like, you're inspiring.
Well, I appreciate that. I mean, we just try to get through the day sometimes, you know, and at first I was like, I'm still upset by it. You know, she's going to have to be in a chair, you know, and I'm upset by it. And I think a lot of the times with kids with disabilities, I think we have to get over our own fears and shortcomings with it, because honestly, I think if we got Addison in a chair, I think she would be so relieved and so happy to have somebody push her around. My goodness, because she wouldn't have to hurt anymore. And that, I think she would just love to have somebody push her around. But, you know, I think it'll help. It'll help. And then the water physical therapy, I think it'll help and it'll fix it. You know, it's just one more thing. And I keep trying to tell myself, we've been through worse. You know, we used to do muscle biopsies, MRIs, CAT scans. You know, we've been through worse, and we'll get through this one too. It's one more thing. You know, my wife has been sick and with Lyme disease. She was diagnosed with Lyme disease a few months ago. You want to talk about something that kind of threw us all off. I mean, and she relapsed a few weeks ago and had to do a lot more IV treatments, but she's getting better now. You know, we're on an upward swing with that. So, you know, we get through stuff, man. If it comes at us, we're going to get through it. We're going to get up, get knocked, you know, we'll get knocked down. We'll get back up again. Like Mick Foley, that's one of my favorite wrestlers. No matter what Mick did, no matter what you did to Mick Foley, he always got back up, you know? So
I didn't know you were wrestling.
Oh my gosh. I used to love it a long time ago. I used to love it, you know, way back in the day. And I love Mick. I got to meet Mick in Dayton, Ohio once at a book signing. And it's always awesome when you get to see somebody you just idolize as a kid. And I was number like 298 in this tiny little bookstore of him signing books. And I had Addison. She was maybe 6 months old. And I 298 people in, Mick was still friendly. He made a joke with Addison, tried to love on her for a second. He smiled, took pictures with us. It was great to meet somebody that you just idolize and find out they're just a genuinely good person. Man, you got to love him for that. You got to love him for that. And it's a role model to me. You know, I used to talk about him in the classroom because, you know, yes, it's fake. Yes, it's wrestling. But Mick used to seriously hurt himself, first of all, and he would get hurt. But the biggest thing I always try to tell about Mick, you know what everybody loves about and remembers most about Mick? When he got – he lost. He got thrown off the cage. He, you know, and he lost that match. When he got thrown into those tacks with Hunter, you know, he lost that match too. They don't remember his big wins. They always remember him getting back up. And even though he lost, he got back up. You know, that's what I love about Mick. You know, he wasn't about him winning. It was just about him getting back up and looking – And he talked about a guy that's passionate about what he did. Yes, it's performing or whatever you want to call it, but nobody went more all in than that guy in what he did and tried to entertain people and get them excited. So, yeah, I used to love it, man. He's a pretty awesome guy.
Yeah, you said his name, and the first thing that I remembered was some of those matches where he got seriously injured and would just get back up and keep going.
Mm-hmm. And that's what you just look at it. It's like, okay, yes, I know it's fake. It's a real tax, or that's a real chair, or he just went 12 feet onto the ground. And he got back up, no matter what. He got back up because, you know, it was his job. He was passionate about it. He wanted to give the people a show. And, you know, the real reason, if you want to get down to the heart of that guy, he got back up because he was making a living for his family. And he was going to make sure he was the best at what he did to take care of his family. And I think in some weird way, you know, that's what you got to do, man. You got to go all in to take care of your wife and your kids and make sure they have what they need. And that's why, oh man, I get Mick Foley and the Muppets on a deeper level than most people. That's why I'm a little bit of a weirdo, but you know, it is what it is. I love Mick.
You got to take those things and use them to your advantage. And that's what you're doing. Mm-hmm. I'm not a exactly. big fan of the Muppets. Exactly. And I would say Mick Foley wasn't one of my favorite wrestlers, but the way you talk about it, the stories you share, I remember those. I remember, mm-hmm. That guy, there were a couple of matches where he was like totally hurt, but he stayed in role. He got back up and he just kept doing his job.
Exactly.
And a lot of those good wrestlers, hey, talk about going off topic, right? A lot of those good wrestlers would get hurt and would continue going. Mm-hmm. Like they were mm-hmm. true professionals, even though, yeah, people, it's fake and it's planned out, but I don't want to get slammed. I don't want to get thrown out of a ring. Like, that's hardcore stuff.
No, exactly, man. And they just kept going and going. All right, little man's yelling for me. I don't want to, but he's calling for me. He probably just needs me to charge his iPad, but he's back there calling for me in the back of the house. My wife is out shopping with a friend for some clothes or some things we need, or trash bags. We ran out of trash bags. You have anything in your house that you just panic and you never want to run out of? Minus trash bags. I put the last trash bag in. And I looked at it. And I was like, honey, it's a big deal. It's DEFCON 5. I just put the last trash bag in the trash can. Hers is toilet paper. She won't run out of that. But we're not out of that. We're out of trash bags. So I was in like panic attack mode. So she went out to get that. He's hollering for me back there. I need to probably go check on him in just a second. I'm sorry to cut you short, man.
Hey, no worries. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Do you want to cut it off, or do you want to go check on him and come back?
Can I go check on him and come right back? I promise it's not going to mess up things. It won't take me just a second.
Go for it. Okay. Thanks, man.
Give me 35 seconds. I'll be right back. Yes, sir. All right. Call it. He needed his iPad. He needed a charge, and he was going to bed. Oh, yeah. He gets to a point where he's ready to go to bed, and he doesn't want to get out of the bed. So it was dad. He wanted to make sure his iPad was charged. It's little things. It's, you know, part of that routine. We do it every night.
It's not a problem at all. I totally get it. In fact, you know, before we connected, my kids are right next door, and I go into their room and I tell them, you know, daddy's going to be on the computer doing some talking with some people. You guys need to stay calm and you need to just do your thing. And once I'm done, I'll go check on you. And it's funny because my youngest says to me, well, what if I feel sick? I'm like, if you feel sick or something really serious, come and get me. It's not a big deal. But if you're going to come in and ask me to get you a toy from the basement or something, no, that's not going to fly tonight. But that's what you deal with, right?
You never know what you're going to deal with. Man. You never know what you're going to hear. Last night he walked in. We're sitting at the dining room table. My wife, Addison's aide. And we're sitting there at 7:30. It's still kind of daylight out. He walked in, looked at all of us plain as day and said, well, good night, everyone. I have to get up early tomorrow and walk back to his room. Never said that before in his life, but I'm just like, I don't know where he heard it, but it was hilarious. Got to get up early tomorrow. Good night, everyone, and walk right back by. It was like, all right, good night. He's got a mission. He's got to go somewhere.
Sometimes their character and the way that they are is just so – it's comedic sometimes, right?
Yes, exactly. He's a trip. That dude is a trip. You know, he's a funny guy, man.
Yeah, it's all good stuff. I mean, having kids is a blessing. And even when they drive us nuts, it's, you know, it passes, like you said. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It passes. We move on. And when go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, like, even when they drive me nuts, let's say for a few minutes, if they weren't here driving me nuts, I'd be wondering, like, what are they doing? Are they okay? What's going on? You know, if I was out somewhere and like, are they okay? I wonder what they're doing. You know, because you'd miss it. I miss it sometimes when it's too quiet. You know, I it's good stuff when they're even the crazy stuff's good stuff sometimes. Sometimes.
Yeah, I've joked with my wife like when I've gone to a conference, an overnight conference, and I get back and my wife will say, "Did you enjoy the peace and quiet?" And I'm like, you know what? No, not really. Like, when I was in my room, just kind of chilling, getting ready for bed, I missed it. I missed listening to them. I missed them hollering for me. I missed, you know, looking at my wife and being like, oh, here they go again. And it's funny because she's like, really? I'm like, yeah, for sure. I totally missed that. It's not the same. This is our reality, right? Mm-hmm. So when it's not happening, we kind of want it to happen. When you said earlier about your website, Man Versus Autism, and people taking it the wrong way, I've never taken it the wrong way. Maybe that's because I paid attention to your tweets. I paid attention to what you were saying, like from beginning to the end. So you'll usually say something about one of the kids kind of doing something or you kind of dealing with a situation. But if people pay close enough attention, you'll come back and you'll add some continuity to it so people have a context for what you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, because I never wanted it to be that way. And I haven't had a lot of flack. I had a couple people ask me about it. And I feel they need to clarify because I have nothing against autism. But for us, you know, it's a challenge. It's something we try to overcome. And it's important to us in that way because, you know, some people see it as a gift and, you know, then it makes their child unique. And that's great. They see it that way. And it ain't that way at all. So, you know, it's like I'm going to respect it. Do you see it that way? That's fine. So just respect it. My way is different too, is what we try and tell folks. It's a little different for us. So it's not bad. It's just different. That's all. Just different.
Right. I want to share with everybody the site of your site address. So it's Toby Price Jedi Padmaster.wordpress.com. That's where they can go and read your blog. And also you've got an About Me page, which is about.me/JediPadmaster. So there's a couple of places where people can go and see really cool pictures of you. On your About Me page is a picture of you with two Star Wars characters and you're looking at a Star Wars book. I love the look on your face.
Oh, yeah.
It's such a classic, wow look, you know?
We were having fun. Those are members of the local 501st Legion. I don't know if you're familiar with the 501st Legion. They're former veterans, and they make those, you know, they make movie-grade Star Wars costumes. And one of my – I don't even call him a good friend anymore. We call him Uncle Alan. Uncle Alan is in the local 501st, and they come to our school for the book fairs. And we have a lot of fun, and it means a lot to the – I always try and tell them this, too, when they come. It means so much to those kids when y'all come here because – you know, some of my kids don't get to go to Disney World to see Darth Vader and all that stuff. And when they get to see him, like we had a Darth Vader one year. His name was Philip. He was over 6 feet tall and he was Darth Vader. Dude, he was amazing. And the kids were just, wow, looking up at him. I mean, it was huge. So, yeah, we try to have a good time. I'm hoping I can get him for our book fair here at the end of next month. I got to contact him to make sure we have some folks available. But, yeah, I love the About Me page. You can kind of jump off to all kinds of different sorts of things there. The YouTube channel. We got some great videos on YouTube. Grog the Zombie. That's my little pet project. Grog and his best friend Sheep. You know, they're kind of goofy, but there's some good videos out there. Fun for, you know, your kids to watch and, you know, just kind of laugh and learn along with them and things. It's good times. Good times.
I was hoping you'd talk about Grog the Zombie because I see here that you're the creator of Grog and his best friend Sheep. So I was hoping you'd say something about that. So right on for sharing that. And I want to go back to those characters coming into your school. And what a great experience for kids that can't go to some of the, like Disney World or Disneyland to see these things, right? Mm-hmm. Those are the things that they remember, you know? They're not always going to remember
exactly.
Those fantastic social studies lessons that we put on for them. They're going to remember those fun experiences. I mean, when I think back to my grade school, I have like 5 or 6 solid memories and none of them involve schoolwork. They all involve my teacher doing something really cool that like to this day is ingrained in the back of my mind.
Exactly. And that's exactly right. That's exactly right. In fact, like I had one teacher, I had several good teachers like that. Oh, here he comes. I had several teachers, you know, who did it, but I had one teacher, her name was Kathy Robinson, and I'm friends with her now, still on Twitter. She was my second and my third grade teacher, and I had to ask my parents, because I always assumed, like, she looped with us. I went to my parents a couple of years ago and said, did Miss Robinson really loop with us, or was I in second grade twice? And they said, no, she looped. And I said, okay, but we're still friends today, and it wasn't, you know, and I don't remember anything she taught us in class, but I remember we invited her to my house for dinner when I was in like the second grade because I wanted my teacher to come for my birthday party. And she came. She was like the guest of honor, and we fixed dinner. I mean, you remember stuff like that. That was huge. And you just want to give them something to remember. You know, Ron Clark was here in Jackson before school started, and he said something that just really rung true to me. Because if you're going to be here at school, do something. Do something they'll remember. Do something they'll go home talking about the next day. Do something that they'll remember at the end of the year and tell their friends about, you know? So, I mean, it spoke true to me. So, you know, we try to do something they'll never forget. I'm watching my son. He came back out. And he's gone. Never mind. All right. He's going back to bed.
So, Toby, I want to give you the final word in terms of motivation, inspiration. So people have now had an opportunity to listen to you talk about your home life and the way that you parent with your wife and take care of your kids. And you've mentioned two of them have autism, which can be difficult at times. And people have heard you talk about work and your attitude towards your work and the staff that you work with and the kids that you work with and work for. You know, we've heard a little bit about your love of Star Wars and the way you connect with kids and the lighter side of Toby Price with the Oprah tweets and stuff like that. So I want you to have what I call the final word around motivation and inspiration. So there are people listening. What can you say to people about how to stay motivated or how to get inspired to, you know, go deep into whatever it is that they do for a living or whatever it is that they want to really do well at? What would you say to those people?
You know, that's a great question. I want to make sure I answer it right. You know, you want to think really hard about why they do what they do. You know, what's the why? And if the why doesn't make sense to you, maybe you shouldn't be doing it, and figure out what the why is to you. Like, why do I get up every morning to do it? And I think, you know, my why now for my kids has become the fact that I'm going to create a school where, you know, people who have autism or kids who have autism aren't looked as those kids in the special ed classroom. They're looked as they're just part of the class, you know, and I want to make sure I use it as a platform to tell as many students as I can about kids with autism or kids with different special needs. Because you know what, those are our friends. They're all part of our class. And I want to make a really inclusive building, and we're on the way to that. They added a fifth teacher unit to my building this year. We have five special ed teachers this year, and we have a brand new self-contained class with some brand new friends. And you know, that's my why. You know, my why for me is I want to make sure I get up and I can tell as many people as I can about kids like mine, and I can role model, you know, including them in it. So, you know, cause those people are going to grow up one day, and hopefully they'll do the same thing when they, you know, come across people who are different than they are, whether it's autism or, you know, just different looking people. It doesn't matter to me. So, you know, that's my why. So if you want to try and stay motivated, you got to figure out and find a why in what you do. And I think, who is it? Simon Sinek did that, you know, start with why, or I probably said his name wrong, but you know, that rings true. You know, you got to start with your why. Why do you get up and do what you do? I want to get up because I want to make sure I take care of my wife and kids and give them the best life they can. And, you know, that's my why. And luckily when I'm there, I get to share some really good books. I get to have a lightsaber hanging over my desk in my office. And we get to have a really good time with some kids while we're there. You know, that's my why. So figure out the why and what you do, and just go all in for it, man. Go all in and make sure you leave your mark and do something, you know, somebody will remember in a positive way. Do something somebody will, you know, give them something to remember. You know, everybody's got something to contribute. And that's like a Jim Henson quote that I just butchered. But, you know, everybody's got something special they can contribute. And whether they have autism or whatnot. So, you know, show those kids that they got something they can leave their mark on the world with, man. You know, figure out why you're there and just go after it. Go after it. I kind of rambled on that one, but.
No, that's great. It's been a real pleasure getting to talk to you for the past, you know, 45 minutes or whatever it's been. Really easy to talk to you. So I appreciate you taking the time to kind of connect.
No worries.
But this is the purpose of the podcast. The purpose is to connect with people that first and foremost have kind of inspired me or motivated me in one form or another, and then to have you tell your story and to have you, you know, give people your two cents about motivation, inspiration, what you do, how you do it. Because, you know, we were talking earlier, and one of the things that a lot of us do is we focus on celebrities. People are going to hate listening to the end of my podcast from now on, because I always go back to the why. The why is people, we spend too much time focused on celebrities for good or for bad, but you know what? The true heroes are the people, well, in education. Then that's kind of, I've been talking to a lot of educators. It's about the educators. It's about the colleagues. Like, I've got a list of people that I look up to that I work with. And so it's important for me to gather their information and kind of send it out there to the world so that people can hear about what teachers do and how we kind of move forward and how we get up every time we get knocked down. So I appreciate you taking the time to tell us your story. And, you know, thanks for connecting. Thanks for being open to connecting and to, you know, being reachable to people so that they can talk to you about autism or talk to you about being a principal or talk to you about your philosophy of education. It's important, and I thank you for it.
No worries, man. No worries. I've had a lot of fun, and I really appreciate the chance and the opportunity, man, just getting to talk to you and meet you in a face-to-face kind of way, too. So, you know, thank you. Thank you. It's a great way to spend a Friday night, man. I was lucky I got to speak with you, you know. It was a get-to kind of thing. So I'm really glad we were able to make it happen. I'm glad we make it happen.
Well, the feeling's mutual. So you enjoy the rest of your evening and take care of that family. And like I said, I've got you and your family in my prayers, and I hope things work out for the best with the kids.
Thank you, man. All will be well. That's what I keep telling myself over and over. All will be well. So we're all going to be great, man. We're all going to be great. I appreciate it.